Merry Christmas. If I do my math right, we haven't had the Mass at Dawn here at All Saints in 2 years. Father Mahan is in town, so we were able to go back to our full schedule here. But I've had the 7:30 Mass the last 2 years, I believe, at St. Mary's in Aurora. And then the year prior to that, it was COVID year, and many people went to a 4 o'clock Mass outside or a 17 degree Mass outside. So I just, and I for those of you who are new to the 7:30 Mass, I say this every year, you are my favorite Catholics right now, because the 7:30 a.m. Mass is my favorite Mass. It doesn't have to be 7:30, it could be at 6, it could be at 8, but liturgically, there are four Christmas texts, readings, and prayers for Christmas. There is the Vigil Mass, which is said prior to it being night on Christmas Eve. There is the Mass at night, which is traditionally known as Midnight Mass, but sometimes it's celebrated at 10 or 11 or whatever, but traditionally at midnight. And then there is the Mass of Dawn, which is what we're at right now. And then the Mass of the Day, which I'll be celebrating at 9:15. They all have different biblical readings, as you see in your missalette. They all have different texts. But this is the Mass that the Meyer family, I didn't know there was any other Christmas Mass except for the 7:30 a.m. Mass. The Meyer children were not allowed to touch any presents or have any Christmas fun until we attended Mass. Then we were allowed to go home and enjoy all of the other things. But this was so, if there are any children right now that are suffering right now in their pew because you are like my parents, because your parents are like my parents, I just want to let you know that your parents are awesome and they're the best parents in the whole entire world. And if your parents like let you open up presents at 6 a.m. this morning, they're awesome too. But anyways, nonetheless, thank you for being here. Merry Christmas. It's awesome. Okay, besides wishing you a happy Christmas, I'd like to wish you something very interesting this morning. I'd like to wish you a very happy octocentennial. You might be like, Father, what's an octocentennial? That's fine, I'll tell you. We have a bicentennial, which is a 200-year anniversary. An octocentennial is the proper terminology for an 800-year anniversary. Today is the 800th anniversary of the man in this stained glass window right here on your right that's going to get brighter and brighter throughout this glorious Mass. This is St. Francis of Assisi. And 800 years ago, St. Francis depicted for the very first time in the history of Christianity a nativity scene. Prior to 1223, there had never been a nativity scene depicted. You might be like, wow, people weren't very creative, apparently. But it's true. St. Francis of Assisi is the father of nativity scenes. He's also the father of the Stations of the Cross, by the way. And both of them are from his experiences of going on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. 3 years prior to his death, he died in 1226. He was living in a small Italian town, not Assisi. It was outside of Assisi, about 100 miles away from the city of Rome, in a town called Greccio. Everyone say Greccio. And now say it like an outrageous Italian. Greccio. Okay. He was living in Greccio, and the people there, like many people throughout the history of humanity, he saw them consumed with the world. He saw them depressed. He saw them hurting. He saw them longing for something more. And he wanted to have a way to help them realize that God is real, that God is truly a part of their lives, that in the midst of their own frustration and struggles and difficulties and trials and grief, that God is real, that God was born for them. So Francis had to go to Rome, and so he He walked the 100-mile journey to go and see the Pope. He was actually going to see the Pope to have the Franciscan order, which is now the largest religious congregation in the world, to have the rule or the way of life approved by the Pope. So that was his primary reason. But when he was there, he also, when he met with the Pope, he asked the Pope for permission to do something which we believe possibly up to that point had never been done before. And that was, of course, to recreate Christmas. So he asked for the permission from the Pope, and the reason why he needed permission is because he was going to do things that were not normal. For example, he was going to have Mass. St. Francis was a deacon, not a priest. So he was going to have Mass by the local priest in Greccio celebrated in a cave, not in a church. He also was asking for Mass to be celebrated in the presence of animals. So Francis told the Pope his idea, and the Pope approved his idea. And so on Christmas night, St. Francis had told everybody in the town to come to this one particular cave. He had talked to local farmers, and they brought everything. They brought sheep, they brought cattle, they brought oxes, they brought asses. And he asked people, particularly people in the town, to dress up as Mary and as Joseph, and as shepherds and as kings. And Francis, in the presence of all of Greccio, proclaimed to them that Christ was not born 2,000 years ago in history, but that he is born again for them, made new. As people saw Mary and Joseph and shepherds, and as they saw sheep, and as they saw an ox, and they saw hay, it was very obvious that there was something that was missing. There was not a carved or plaster image of the baby Jesus, and he did not ask any of the new mothers in Greccio to offer their child as an image of the baby Jesus. But what St. Francis did do is this. He constructed an altar and he asked the parish priest to come and celebrate Mass. And he told everyone that night, the first night that this has ever taken place, he said, Jesus was not born 2,000 years ago in time. Jesus comes on our altar at every single Mass. And every time that you go to Mass, it is Bethlehem. And then Francis asked the parish priest to begin celebrating Mass, and because Francis was a deacon, he chanted the gospel beautifully. And then a miracle took place. It is said that after Francis knelt at the altar and received Holy Communion, that Francis himself had a vision. That Francis saw the baby Jesus on the altar. Not only does Francis tell this testimony, but everyone present also saw something quite miraculous. Everyone present saw Francis holding the baby Jesus. It was a miracle. If you go online today and you watch Midnight Mass from last night at St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, and you go to the very, very end, they show the outdoor nativity scene, not the indoor nativity scene, but the outdoor nativity scene at the Vatican. And there is a statue of St. Francis holding the baby Jesus. The baby Jesus, for this 800th anniversary, the octocentennial, is not in the manger, and he's not in Mary's arms. He's being held by Francis because of the miracle. People knew they saw a miracle. People knew that something supernatural had happened. And so after the event, people, wanting somehow to enter into it, went up and started taking pieces of hay and straw, and they brought it to their homes. When livestock and animals would be sick on their farms, they would take the hay and they would touch it to the animals, and they would be cured instantaneously. Women who were infertile became fertile. Women who had difficult pregnancies brought forth beautiful, healthy children. Everyone knew something sacred had happened 800 years ago this Christmas. So that leads me to what happened this past Thursday. Many of you know that I normally go away with Father Hollowell during the third week of Advent, and that has been our custom for many, many years. However, because of us being assigned together, I went away and he stayed here. And we go to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, which is in the Diocese of Birmingham, Alabama. And there is a group of Franciscans there. They are poor Clare nuns, so they live a contemplative life. They live enclosed, so they never leave the monastery, and they have perpetual adoration there, and they have a house for priests to come on retreat there. And these Franciscan religious sisters that Father Hollowell and I have been visiting and going there and going to their retreat center for many, many years, of course, we're looking for a way to celebrate the 800th anniversary of Francis's creation of the first nativity, which then brings me to another Italian word, not Greccio, but Cenacolo. There's a very pious religious sister in Italy that a few decades back founded a community called Cenacolo. The Cenacolo community is based off the Italian word for dinner, cena. And the community exists for rehabilitation for people that have been addicted to hardcore drugs. And this woman had this vision that the only way to really heal people is with and through Jesus Christ. So she said, if people are addicted to drugs, then what they need is they need Jesus. So she created this rehabilitation program that is all focused on Jesus in the Eucharist. So the name of the community is called Cenacolo, Cena, and Cenacolo means a little dinner, and it actually is referring to the upper room. And so the community is based off of this principle. This community of recovering drug addicts will live together in an intense community, so they're never alone, they're never by themselves. And their basic principles are this: every day this community gathers for the celebration of Holy Mass. There's a priest that comes and celebrates Mass for them every day, and the intention of that Mass, often our Mass intention is for someone who died or someone who's in need. The Mass intention for their entire time in recovery, there is only one Mass intention in the community, and that is for their recovery. So they celebrate Mass as a community. Their intention, the Mass intention, is for them. They spend an hour in Eucharistic adoration every day, and the rest of their time is spent in intense, hard labor. So, for example, the community that is right next to the shrine, there is a ranch there. And so they take care of cattle, and they bale hay, and they draw water, and they work a very, very hard life. If they're not praying, they're working. And the whole point of the rehabilitation program is to have them have their whole life focused on community, the Eucharist, and work. To teach them virtue and discipline and sacrifice. So one of the religious sisters, I guess, when they were praying, was like, what should we do for the 800th anniversary? And one of them was given an inspiration of the Holy Spirit and said, oh, I have an idea. Let's ask a bunch of former drug addicts to recreate the birth of Jesus Christ as Francis did 800 years ago. So when I was on retreat last week, the sisters invited everyone in the local area to come to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. There were probably about 400 to 500 people outside of the shrine. They built a huge, enormous stable in front of the shrine. And then I watched about 20 young adults who are all recovering drug addicts recreate the birth of Jesus. And Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels. And I will tell you, and many of you know that I'm obsessed with nativity scenes. I published myself a Christmas play about nativity scenes. I will tell you that what I saw on Thursday night was one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen. Because why was Christ born 2,000 years ago? Because every single one of us is broken. Because every single one of us struggles with sin, with isolation, with loneliness, with depression, with grief, with addiction. And to see these individuals, not only that, yes, they now go to daily mass, and yes, they spend time in adoration, and yes, Jesus is the center of their life now, and they know that. But also to know that they carry with them the wounds and the scars and the hurt and the broken relationships and the people that they have hurt in their own life. And to see them entering into the birth of Jesus in this profound way, there was not a dry eye in the crowd of 450-some people that were there. It was powerful. And they had an individual who was dressed up like St. Francis, and he told the story, and he just made it very clear. 800 years ago, there was no Christ child. And he said to everyone there in attendance, he said, Jesus is present right behind us in this church, and he's waiting for every single one of you as he waited for everybody in Bethlehem to come and adore him. And the same is true for us this morning. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Francis wanted to let everyone know that he was born again on the altar at every Mass. And he wanted them to know that in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of sin, in the midst of a world that seems to be insane, that he is here, that Emmanuel, God is with us, that we're not alone. And so on this 800th anniversary, this octocentennial, I want to invite you to do a few things. And to, if you have a nativity scene in your house, thanks be to God. And I think in honor of the octocentennial, you should keep it up all year round if you don't normally do that. If you do not have a nativity scene, please let me know. I have like hundreds that I could literally just, I have lots of them. So just let me, I'll give you a nativity scene if you want one. But here's also another idea. Maybe during this octocentennial, you should take your baby Jesus and you should put him somewhere else. Because that's what Francis did 800 years ago. To intentionally make it clear that Jesus is born on the altars of every Catholic church every single day. And we are called to come and adore him. And we are called to realize that we're not alone. You'll notice that our baby Jesus is over here. He is not in our nativity scene. For 4 weeks of Advent, for the four Sundays of Advent, is the best way to put it, here at All Saints, we have been having Eucharistic adoration at the end of Holy Mass, as you know. And so on this Christmas morning, I have an empty monstrance. And I'm going to put it in our nativity scene as a tangible and visible reminder that Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist, that he was born in a town of Bethlehem, meaning house of bread, to become the living bread that come down from heaven. He was laid in a manger to become our food, as he was laid in a feeding trough for animals, that he was laid on food, hay and wheat, to remind us that he is the bread that has come down from heaven. I want this empty monstrance to be a reminder of what happened 800 years ago by Francis. That we'll all recall that we are not alone in our brokenness, in our addiction, in our suffering, in our grief. Whatever you carry with you, that is why we come to Mass. That is why we have Christ's Mass this morning for you. Many of you also know that I'm a relic collector. And I will just say, what I saw on Thursday night is one of the most beautiful depictions of Christmas I've ever seen in my life. And I wished you could all have seen it. Because I stay at this retreat house, which is on the property of the enclosure of the sisters. At a certain point, the gates are shut and nobody is allowed into the shrine. And because of where the priest retreat center is, like, the priests are able to be on the property all throughout the night. And I have a tradition every single night after dinner around 8 o'clock, I go out and I do two walking rosaries on the property. And on Thursday night after the beautiful production, I was in the large square, the piazza in front of the shrine, and I was just moved. I was praying in front of the stable that they had built, and it was still up, and the manger was there, and I just started singing some Christmas songs, and I was crying, and I just felt very, very compelled. I was like, 800 years ago, the hay from that manger in Greccio, it cured people. Babies were alive. One baby in our world can become a generation and generation and generation of children, of families, and of life. And so as I was kneeling there praying, I was like, well, why not again? So I entered into the stable and I started picking up pieces of hay. And so I'm also going to be putting into our nativity scene, into all the nativity scenes in Dearborn County, a piece of hay from the nativity scene that I saw portrayed by individuals recovering from drug addiction. And miracles happen because of faith. And so I ask of you to pray radically for conversion, for renewal, for faith in your life and the lives of those who need it this Christmas, that our desperation and our trust in the Lord may be rooted in what it is in that Chinakalo community, which is Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, which is the celebration of Holy Mass, which is virtue, which is truth. Let's pray that this octocentennial, let's pray that this 2000th anniversary of the birth of Jesus may remind us that we're not alone, may remind us that Jesus is with us. He's as close as a tabernacle in a Catholic church. He's as close as a Christmas Mass or any Mass celebrated throughout the year. And may it bring us hope and trust that we are not alone, that Emmanuel, God, is with us.